nonsense of possibilities each and every day. I heard a calling that was right for me. I prayed for strength for what's ahead of me. Stood before me was my enemy. Come to take away my liberty. I'd rather die than be a slave to thee. Don't shake me. Killed my brothers, they lay dead by me. Hit them high, we made them day that day. We hung the traitors from the highest tree to mercy from. Was the price you paid for liberty?
Berkey water filters are the ultimate filters used worldwide for normal or hostile filtration environments to provide the most delicious, sparkling, clean water possible. The Berkey Light self-sterilizing filter elements remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, chemicals, and they reduce lead, mercury, aluminum, nitrate, sulfur, odors, foul tastes, and much, much more. Yet they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. The Berkey Light has ridges to deflect water if the upper chamber is overfilled, and it can be used...
land of America comes a harvest of insight and entertainment. This is the Common Sense Coalition, the Derry Brownfield Show, starring Derry Brownfield. And here's the star of the show, the man who says some mistakes are too much fun to only make once, Derry Brownfield.
Hello there, Derry Brownfield here.
It is the talk show with a country flavor and some common sense points of view. Have an in-studio guest today, which is always fun, and he is Wes Schumacher, who is always fun, too. So it's going to be a good show today. Not that the rest of them aren't, but some of them are gooder, I guess, than others, maybe. Anyway, Wes is a second-term state legislator for the state of Missouri. He's a Democrat. And we'll look over that, Wes. I guess it'll be all right, from Northeast Missouri. But mainly, more than anything else, he is a family farmer, and that's first in his life. He grows row crops and cattle and doesn't get along very well with Monsanto. What in the world's Monsanto doing that upsets you, Wes?
Well, you know, Derry, I've always believed that farmers should have a fundamental right to save their own seed from their own property. And, of course, I've filed legislation 3 years running now that would create a system in Missouri that would allow us to reimburse the holder of a patent for their technology, but allow us at the same time to retain our own seed. And that would just immediately interject competition in the seed industry. And I don't think Monsanto wants any competition. They like being the only game in town. They like to be able to charge you whatever they want, and there's nothing you can do about it. So.
Okay, now, but we're going to have people out there, listeners, that are not farmers and don't understand the soybean situation. But Monsanto came out, and it hadn't been that long ago. I had the talk show, I'm sure, at the time that was going on, when they invented and patented Roundup Ready soybean seed. Roundup is a chemical that you can spray on anything that grows, that turns green, and it will kill it. I mean, grass, weeds, whatever, Roundup will kill it. Then Monsanto came out with Roundup Ready soybean seed, and Roundup will not kill Roundup Ready soybeans, right?
That's correct. It won't. It does a great job of what it's supposed to do.
Right. So you can just plant your beans. You don't have to cultivate. You don't have to do anything. You let the grass grow. You let the weeds grow. When everything gets to growing really good and you say, boy, that field is a mess, you go in there and you put Roundup on it, and hey, the grass and the weeds are gone. The soybeans survive. Now, let's go from there.
Well, you know, always in the past, or what brought this to fruition the way it is that they let the companies declare the seed a life form. And so then they got to put a patent on the gene that they interjected into that life form. And therefore, farmers had always had the opportunity with the Plant Variety Protection Act and the Plant Protection Act to save their own seed. And what that did was say, okay, if you grew it, you can save enough for your own use.
Right, and people always save wheat. They save soybeans. You couldn't save hybrid seed corn. You could save the old Reed's Yellow Death, though, if you wanted to.
If you wanted to go back that far, old number 13.
Or... Yeah, man.
But what happens is whenever that happens and occurs, it stymies the competition. And probably one of the things that really enrages most U.S. producers is that at the same time that we're required to buy new seed every year at an inflated price, the South Americans do not even honor these intellectual property rights, and they've allowed this seed and this technology to go to South America. And a GAO study is showing that in 2000 that us U.S. producers were paying $22.50 for 50 pounds at the same time that the South Americans were only paying $9. And so before I ever put a seed in the ground, or before any farmer ever puts a seed in the ground in this country that's Roundup, we're at a competitive disadvantage. And what this legislation would do is say, hey, we need the playing field leveled. Farmers need to have the ability to save their own seed to keep that competition, and the South Americans need to start doing their fair share. So that's what we're going for.
And you know, when we talk about South America, Brazil as well as Argentina, I guess those are the two biggies in agriculture.
Absolutely.
But I remember back, I'm going back into the mid '60s, I guess. And we'd get these crop reports. And of course, it's springtime now. It's winter down there now, mm-hmm. going from late fall into winter. and we would talk about the soybean harvest. We'd be planting soybeans up here, and oh, they're harvesting beans in Argentina and Brazil, and blah, 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 and how it's going to affect the crop, and the Chicago Board of Trade traders would watch that, and they'd fluctuate the market depending upon whether it rained in Brazil or not. And at that time, I said, you know, everybody's so concerned, it's just a thing to play with. It's a ploy. The traders are using that because, hey, we grow more soybeans in five counties in southeast Missouri than they grow in Brazil. Now, that was back in the 60s. Today, that thing has turned completely around.
Completely around. Yes, Brazil actually produces more in South America than we do now.
Right.
So,
and you know why they got started? And I used to say this also. There are no soybean farmers in Brazil. There are American farmers that went to Brazil to grow soybeans.
That's what happened. And, you know, and that's, you're kind of on the same lines when we talk about exports and how we're going to, people say we're going to cure ills through exports. Well, you know, as a farmer, I have never exported a soybean.
I haven't either. I've never exported anything.
I've always sold it to ADM or Cargill or Continental, and they exported it. And so we have to find ways that we help our farmers and drive money back to the farm gate. And this legislation is one way that we can save our farmers money, keep their money local, help the local cleaning seed cleaning industry in our local communities, and actually help our rural communities revitalize some, because what we have and what we've seen in rural communities is all the wealth is leaving. And there's been a systematic approach to ways to do that, and this is one way we just need to take a stand and fight back and make sure our producers have this right.
And you know, you made a comment just a moment ago. You said bring the prices back to the farm, help the people there by the farm gate. Farms don't have gates anymore. You know, it's amazing. Just in my home neighborhood here, my son came home and we took the back road from our place where we live. We've got we keep our main cow herd up at Potter Grove, Missouri, and we took the back road. And he says, you know, this country doesn't look like it used to. He said, there's no fence. Where are the fences? There's no fences. Everything's torn down. And this was one of Earl Butz's famous comments. We're going to take out the fences and plow road ditch to road ditch. Well, Earl Butz ought to be happy, because that's exactly what we're doing, and we don't have livestock on the farm anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, let's take a break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Our number is 1-800-973-3779. Your calls are welcome.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Derry Brownfield here, and my good friend Ben Roberts just keeps sending these books, Past, Present, and How We Can Survive the Future in the Beef Cattle Business. You really need to read the book, so I've cut the price in half. Now, this book details the history of the beef cattle industry and how the giant corporations have taken complete control of the meatpacking business, and they've been doing it over the last 100 years. With the recent Pickett IBP decision recently overturned by the U.S. Senior District Judge, this information is more important than ever, because Ben offers workable solutions that can restore independence to America's cattle producers. Become informed. By reading Past, Present, and How We Can Survive the Future of the Beef Cattle Business, you'll gain the knowledge necessary to regain fair markets, and together we can make a difference. We can put the book in your mailbox for $10. Just send $10 check, cash, or money order to Beef Book, Post Office Box 79, Sandertown, Missouri 65023.
Hi, I'm Tracy Freeney, co-founder of Lifeline Communications. Just listen to this moving testimony.
We've had Lifeline for a couple years, and we have a 13-year-old son that has struggled with sexual lust and called a 900 number that cost us about $114 for this porn line. Your counselors called and prayed with my wife and just gave her some counsel, and the Lord really broke my 13-year-old's heart, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. I just wanted to thank you personally and tell you that I praise God for Lifeline. time.
Call us right now for long-distance rates starting at less than 3 cents per minute, and we will give 10% of your monthly usage to the ministry of your choice. It's time to feel good about your phone company, because with Lifeline, you know where your money is going.
Call 1-800-311-2648. That's 1-800-311-2648. Taxes, fees, and surcharges not included. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you losing your hair? Here's Dr. Mark Goodman, board-certified dermatologist, to answer your questions about hair loss and Avacor.
I'm 30 years old, and I've been losing my hair for about 6 months. I know it's not growing back.
Okay, first you need to stop your hair from falling out, and you have to stimulate new hair growth. Avacor does both, and it makes your hair visibly thicker with the first application. It's important to start as soon as possible.
My hair is thinning, and I keep finding more and more hair on my brush. What can I do?
Many women suffer from hair loss. Avacor has a new FDA-approved formulation just for women. I recommend you start it as soon as you notice hair loss. I know you'll be very satisfied with the results.
Avacor will visibly thicken your hair with the very first application. Call 800-437-4134. That's 800-437-4134. Guaranteed or your money back. Call 800-437-4134. 800-437-4134.
Return. Let's go to the telephones, Wes. We're visiting today with Wes Schumacher. He is a second-term state legislator here in the state of Missouri, but he's working on a bill that would allow farmers to keep their soybean seed. But we have a soybean seed question here very quickly. Let's go to Mike in Illinois. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi, Derry. I'm not a farmer, but I mean, this to me is a very, very basic thing. Now, I don't understand this, but does Monsanto sell the farmer the seed?
Yes, they sell the farmer the seed, but then, Mike, what you have to understand is even after you buy the seed and pay for it, even though you grow the seed on your soil and your toil and you bought the seed, whenever you harvest it, you cannot keep the seed that you would retain of your own for planting.
Okay. Well,
so have you ever bought anything and bought something and paid for it and it wasn't yours?
Well, that's my question.
It'd be like if you bought a cow and she had a calf, you couldn't keep the calf.
That's right.
Well,
that's
exactly.
That's why we need to really address this issue now, because what happened was they allowed the seed to be declared a living organism, and it's only a matter of time, as Derry said, that a gene is going to be injected in swine or cattle, and the next thing you know, you won't be able to save your own heifers back, or it goes on. So we really need to address this and find this is a property rights issue.
Well, now that brings the second part to my question, but the first question was, if I go to the gas station and buy a gallon of gas, or I go to the grocery store and buy a gallon of milk, does the grocery store tell me I can't let that milk sit in the refrigerator and spoil, or I can't give it to my dog or my cat, or I can't drink it, or I can't put chocolate in it? With gasoline, does the gas station tell me I have to put it in the vehicle that I'm in there in, or I can't put it in my lawnmower, or I can't use some of it to start a fire? Are they selling it, or are they renting it? And I think that's a very basic thing there. And the second part of this would be when you spoke about injecting something into an animal. Is this not perhaps opening the door to making the human being, making you and I, a commodity, an actual acceptable buying, selling, trading commodity of exchange?
Well, you know, that a lot of this stuff does overflow into the pharmaceutical arena, and so what will happen, and when you talk about that, will basically mean that a company owns the rights to those medicines, much like they own the rights to these seeds. And that if you don't have the money to pay for it, you're out of luck.
Well,
and I don't know if life-giving medicine can be considered a commodity. I don't know where they'll go with the human part, but I do know there are some basic fundamental questions and that need to be answered on how we're going to handle all of these intellectual property rights issues.
Well, my bottom line with this is, and I've got a bad attitude about all of it, but if I buy a car from, let's say, Lee Iacocca's company, and I pay for that car, and it's mine, and Lee Iacocca tells me that I can't do something or another with that car after I paid for it, I suggest Lee and his bodyguards come over to the house and we'll discuss.
You've already done that, Mike. You can't take the seatbelts out of it. You can't make those little buzzers and things quit hollering.
Well, you got a good point there, Derry. So we need to straighten that out. I mean, are the farmers buying or are they renting? And they can't disguise the word. If they sell it to you, they're selling it to you. And if they're renting it to you, then it should be made perfectly clear that it is not yours. You are just renting it for use.
Okay, let's take a break. Thanks for the call. We'll move along. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Common Sense Coalition.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
You'll never have to set the time again with the Atomic Watch from La Crosse Technology. I know, it sounds too good to be true, but this stylish watch is automatically updated from the most precise clock in North America. Never worry about being late because your watch was set incorrectly. This ultra-accurate, radio-controlled timepiece also has a perpetual day and date calendar. The best part is, it can be yours today for just $49.95. Call 1-800-695-7709. Not only is it accurate, but it's sharp, too. You'll never want another timepiece once you've experienced the thrill of the Atomic Watch. What are you waiting for? It's a great gift for anyone who values precision and technology. Call 1-800-695-7709. Try the Atomic Watch for 60 days, and if you're not satisfied, return it for the full purchase price. And mention the Derry Brownfield Show when ordering the Atomic Watch at 1-800-695-7709.
A doctor. That's what 5-year-old Betsaida of Guatemala wants to be when she grows up. Then I can find a cure for Marcia, she says. Marcia is her sister who suffered from lupus. Their mother tells how when Marcia was in pain, Betsaida would encourage her sister by saying, "Remember, God is with you." Thanks to a World Vision sponsor, Marcia received the best medical and nutritional support possible. Sadly, she lost her battle with lupus. Still, Betsaida and her mother continue to thank their World Vision sponsor for the continued hope they give. For others, though, that hope isn't there. But you can change that. Please consider sponsoring a child like little Betsaida.
Call 1-888-WV-HOPE-1. That's 1-888-WV-HOPE and the number 1. That's the number to sponsor a child just like Betsaida. World Vision needs your help to help others. Call toll free 1-888-WV-HOPE-1 and change a child's life with just $26 a month. Call World Vision at 1-888-WV-HOPE-1.
We have returned. Wes, you have a friend in Washington, D.C. named Marcy Kaptur that she has sponsored a bill that would straighten this whole Monsanto soybean thing out.
Very close to what we coined the SAC Act, Seed Availability and Access and Competition legislation we had in Missouri, which basically just says a farmer can save his seed, pay $6 a unit for what he saved to the holder of the patent, so it's fair to the both and the six.
What is a unit?
Well, 60 pounds is what I call a unit. That's a bushel.
But that's not the way you buy soybeans.
Well, that's not the way they sell soybeans.
No.
They want to sell 50 pounds. I just thought I might try to get a little even for us old farmers. They took that 10 pounds away from us. I didn't see anything wrong with us getting it back.
Okay, but what's her bill do then?
Basically, hers does the same thing. It sets up where you register with USDA how many units you want to save, and then you pay the holder of the patent. But hers has another component that's very important that says if there are countries that are not honoring those intellectual property rights that we in the U.S. are required to do, that when they import those products into this country, that we're going to put a tariff on them, and that those monies will then go to the holder of the patent. And I said, not without, I'm very skeptical always, you know, Derry, but I said, that's fine with me, but I want to make sure that we have a system that makes it fair that if we send that money to them, that they also make sure they share some of that so the farmers, so us U.S. producers, don't have to be charged as much, and they get rewarded for their technology. So it's fair for business, fair for the farmer, and it's good for our rural community.
You know, you say you're skeptical. But we have right to be skeptical. We have reasons to be skeptical, and I refer to that as Bohica. You probably heard my Bohica story, but bend over. Here it comes again. Every time we turn around, something happens. You think you've got everything straightened out, and then...
Well, yeah, we've seen that on country of origin labeling.
We've seen it on everything.
BSE testing, many things.
Let's see what Jim has seen it on. Jim, hi, you're on the air, Jim.
Yeah, I want to congratulate Wes on his bill 3 years ago when he introduced it in Missouri. Initially, Monsanto and Farm Bureau teamed up together to kill it, but I applaud his efforts. Mentioning other life forms may be patented, And guess what? Farmland already did that. They're belly up now, but they had a cross of two lines they called a Triumph pig. And producers in North Missouri who grew that pig did not have the right to keep gilts out of there or boars or even to sell those sows to a neighbor without farmland's permission. Let me quote to you what Thomas Jefferson had to say on corporations in 1806. I hope we shall crush in its birth the aristocracy of our moneyed corporations which dare already to challenge our government to a trial by strength and bid defiance to the laws of our country. I just look forward to the day Wes Schumacher can make a choice to go to Washington and help clean up our golden rule problem up there. He who has the gold makes the rules.
Appreciate that very much.
Hey, yep. Wes likes to play cowboy too well to go to Washington, D.C.
Well, he may have to change his mind.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if we had all Wes Schumachers up there?
That's right. But I think we need this bill. It's an attempt to level that playing field, whether it's the right one or not. We've got to start somewhere. $22 versus $9 for Argentina, there's no sense in us paying that bill.
No, and you know, they're bringing those, they're bringing feed grains as well as soybeans into the United States. Now, it's kind of an interesting story, but I remember very well, it hasn't been but just a few short years ago, maybe a half a dozen, when they were opening, building all these hog houses in North Carolina. And they said, I say half a dozen years ago, it might have been a dozen, I don't know, but it hadn't been long. They were building these hog houses in North Carolina, and the Corn Growers Association, boy, they were behind these pork factory things, because they said, look at all the corn, we're going to be able to sell them. Interestingly enough, you can buy corn in South America, bring it around by ship to the Carolina ports cheaper than you can get it from Iowa and Indiana and Kansas to South Carolina or North Carolina.
Yes, that's what they're doing
right
now.
That's exactly what they're doing, and then they get all these goodies, like they can buy seed cheaper, they can buy chemicals cheaper.
Land is almost giveaway price.
I remember it hasn't been but just a year or two ago, and I don't know if it's changed or not, but Roundup was selling, I don't know what it was here. You remember what
it was? Well,
it was
about half price in South America.
I was going to say, it was less than half in South America.
The patent has run out on Roundup now, so the price of Roundup has come down considerably, but and that's why they're if you will, jacking up the plans to jack up the tech fee, if you will, for the Roundup Ready soybeans is moving forward, and they put a lot of pressure on their growers.
Hey, Jim, appreciate the call.
Thank you, and keep charging.
Thanks, Jim.
Do the best we can with the tools we got. Now, you mentioned one of our callers, maybe it was Jim, I don't remember. One of our callers just recently said something about why Farm Bureau fought your bill like they did.
Yeah, I was, you know, when I first introduced this legislation and they came out against it, there were several issues they brought, but I was really surprised to study after they came out and testified against it that when Monsanto does sue a farmer, gets judgment, they don't keep a penny of the judgment money. They donate 100% of it to the American Farm Bureau. So my frustration was that, you know, while they were out here saying they were representing my family farmers, they were more interested in representing their own interests in D.C., and that was very frustrating.
Let's take a break. We'll be back. Our number is 1-800-973-3779, and your calls are welcome.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Located
Located in rural Missouri is a place called Heartland, a modern-day city of refuge where men, women, and children can come and find hope in the various recovery programs offered by Pastor Charles Sharp and members of Heartland Community Church. The Heartland community includes Heartland Children and Youth Homes, Heartland Recovery Programs for Adults, K-12 Heartland Christian Academy, Nations Harvest Bible College, and several businesses, including one of the largest dairy operations in the country. Every home, business, classroom, and job site at Heartland are filled with people who are reaching out with compassion of Jesus Christ to help those who are hurting. Heartland came into being as a result of prayer, and prayer continues to be the source of Heartland's daily harvest of miracles. Heartland is a true haven of spiritual healing. To learn more about Heartland, call 660-284-6212. That's 660-284-6212. Friends, neighbors, and fellow Americans, you know as well as I do that our freedoms are under attack in this country. To stand and fight alone is courageous, but not often very effective, and can be quite discouraging. But you don't have to stand alone. When you join with others willing to do the right thing, there is strength in numbers, and that is why it's important to join the Paragon Foundation. When you become a member of the Paragon Foundation, you join like-minded, freedom-loving Americans that have decided enough is enough. It's time to get tough and fight back. That's exactly what the Paragon Foundation does, fight back. The Paragon Foundation picks the battles that regain lost ground and protect long-held rights and freedoms. But to win the battle, we need to stand together. And you need a well-funded war chest to equip the troops. And you can help by becoming a Paragon Foundation member today. Call toll-free 1-877-847-3443. That's 877-847-3443. Bush economics, Kerry economics, what's the difference really? Well, here's the key issue. Today we're in the early stages of a historic flight out of paper and into tangible assets. It began in 2000 based on our massive debt and deficits, and now economists aren't sure that any politician can stop it without lowering our standard of living. But Swiss America and I agree on this. The time has come to raise the standard of living by owning debt-free and inflation-proof assets like gold coins. Find out how easy it is to move on to a personal gold standard, no matter who's elected in November. Just call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-BUYCOIN, and ask for the annual report, A Tribute to Reaganomics, A Return to the Gold Standard. It's free. Just call 1-800-289-2646 or 1-800-BUYCOIN.
This is the Jerry Brownfield Show, and here's the star of the show, the man who says, there are two kinds of people who don't say much, those who are quiet and those who talk a lot, Jerry Brownfield.
And we're visiting today with Wes Schumacher. Wes Schumacher, as we mentioned earlier in the show, he is a state legislator here in Missouri, but he's working on a bill in Washington, D.C. Marcy Kaptur is a sponsor of that bill. And by the way, Marcy also sponsored this World War II memorial, right?
Yeah, that's one of the recent things that people would remember for that. She really worked on that.
It took her a while.
Started it in 1987 when she started that project.
We don't have, let's see, 87 to 97 would be 10, 97, 8, 9, 8. We don't have another 15, 20 years to work on this thing.
No, we don't. It needs to happen very quickly.
Now, what is extended royalties?
Well, you know, something that I found very ironic, as hard as Monsanto's fought this legislation in the United States, I met with them in their offices in St. Louis area this last year and asked them point blank if they were implementing a program that I'd heard about in South America. It was called extended royalties. And basically what they're asking the producer in South America to do is pay them $1.55 for 55 pounds of seed that they want to save. Now, what this legislation does is says, we just want to pay you $6 for 60 pounds. Quite a bit more than what we're doing in South America. But the ironic thing is they want to make sure that they're the only game in town in the United States. And you know, this legislation would basically save the farmer $15 an acre. And someone's questioning my economics, you know, if I don't understand economics, and I tell them, well, you know, 500 acres, a soybean farmer, $15 an acre, that's about $7,500. And I don't have to go to Jefferson City or Washington, D.C. to understand that kind of economics. It's right there in my backyard, my back 40. And our local seed companies deserve the ability to seek clean those seed, because that generated a lot of money locally and a lot of jobs locally. And us old farmers, if we keep that money at home, we're going to spend it at home instead of shipping it
off. They don't want us to keep it at home.
Yeah, that's what we've seen throughout all rural America across this country. So much of our wealth has been drained away from us.
Yeah, I get so upset when I keep reading Ann Veneman's comments. Oh, we're going to revitalize. Well, who was it? Secretary of Agriculture back 40 years ago was going to revitalize rural America. And way back then, I said, if you could just make hogs bring 50 cents a pound, that'd revitalize rural America.
You keep the livestock entities independent and making money, then you will.
Yeah, because hogs at that time are bringing 20 cents
That's
a pound,
right.
You know. Okay, now, Ann Veneman, they're going to put out millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they're going to do nothing with it. They're going to make sure that that certain classes of people can get a better loan than other classes of people.
That's correct.
They're going to make sure that all the schools are wired with internet. I mean, it goes on, and they don't ever think about making the Packers and Stockyards Act reliable and implement it.
I think what so many people forgot is that investment needs to be local. Ownership needs to be local. I think we did some things in Missouri, actually, that other states will probably implement. That the ownership is where the key is to investment and economic development. I use the ethanol plant in North Missouri, where 382 farmers just like me invested in it. Now, we could have given the same tax incentives from ADM to come over, and we'd had 27 jobs and all the profits leave. But now we have 382 owners, and we're not going to Mexico. We're vested in our communities, and the profit stays local. And that's the kind of innovative things that we need to do all across this country.
We have a group of men from North Missouri wanting to talk to you. Wes, let's go to the phones. Hey, men from North Missouri, you're on the air.
Hey, Ken.
Okay, Ken.
Yeah, Derry?
Yes.
Yeah, I had a question for Wes. What would keep the farmers from here in the United States from going down to Brazil and buying those beans off of the farmers down there, since they own the beans down there?
Yeah. I trust me, Ken. I looked into that, and the entering those beans into across the U.S. border, the patent infringement rights would be then enforced, and you would be just as guilty. Because I thought about going down there and getting a boat, loading it, you know, putting the outside round of it with Roundup because it was so much cheaper, you know, half price down there, and then filling the center with beans and then coming back up here and growing them myself and then selling them. But the patent laws protect the holder of the patent at the border.
Okay.
It's
well,
just they don't.
You didn't buy them off of Monsanto and they didn't own them down there after they.
But, yeah, but I wanted to do the same thing, and I looked into it about 3 years ago because I just thought, you know, I thought the same thing you should. But, you know, making sense of things and the way we have things set up, it's not generally set up for guys like you and me to come up with it. The best thing we have to do is this legislation that I've been talking about for 3 years is now going to the federal level where all my critics said it needed to be. Never would have happened unless someone decided to stand up. Folks like myself from South Dakota, Minnesota, Ohio have now also stood up, you know, alongside of me. And Congresswoman Kafka has been good enough to file it in D.C. in the arena it needs to be in. And everyone needs to get behind it. Your congressman, if you're from North Missouri, I would take it as either Graves or Hulshof. And you need to get a hold of those guys. I've certainly been
talking. Hulshof's already against your thing.
He's already came out and called this proposal naive and said this is a Missouri scheme. And I'll tell you what.
Wonder how much Monsanto reimburses him.
I don't know, but it takes a little guts. And I found it during this battle that, you know, last time I got a mailer with my head on top of a chicken that Monsanto helped mail. And I know when the press asked me about that, what I thought about that, I thought it was the best looking chicken I ever saw. But
chicken. You got to pronounce that problem.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, it's just going to take some standing up because Monsanto is the largest biotech contributor to the political process in the nation, and we're going to have to decide as legislators if we're going to stand up for our people or if we're going to stand up to some nameless, faceless corporations.
You know, it's as wrong as it can possibly be, but the people just don't have any money and the multinational corporations do. And these guys are for sale to the highest bidder. I don't think there's any doubt about that. If we could come in with money like IBP and Monsanto and Cargill and others of these major, and I say agricultural corporations, I'm sure the same thing happens I just know more about agriculture than I do the other. And just outbid them. Say, have an auction. Just have a, by gosh, auction. Just bid, have a auction there in a block and say, okay, now here's Senator so-and-so. And who's got the money, honey, gets him.
That or elect somebody that's got some intestinal fortitude.
Well, you're not going to do that, did you?
Well, I hope to try. I'm going to remain that way.
Yeah, but you're just an old dumb farm boy, Wes. Excuse me for the adjectives, but, you know, we're out here and we think we're supposed to be that way. And for years, just like you said a while ago, you're skeptical, and I said it's a case of Mojica. We were all that way.
We were trained.
Yeah. I had a good friend that passed away not too long ago, but he said, and he was a tremendous businessman. And he said, you know, people got the idea that anybody, but he said, none of us started out that way. You know, after you get beat down enough, you either get out of business, go bankrupt, or you stick up for your rights. We're not doing it.
Yeah.
Let's change the subject a little bit. We've ridden this old soybean horse mm-hmm. pretty hard today. We'll put him up and bring out the Missouri River.
Mm.
The Missouri River has definitely been a controversial issue between the greeny weenies and the people that want to make a living using the Missouri River.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, I've got a little note that says Bush applauds habitat restoration. Now, I couldn't believe that Bush was going to applaud habitat restoration because he's supposed to be out there trying to save the land for us farmers.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, the Army Corps of Engineers and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced the completion of more than 1,200 acres of shallow water habitat in the river's endangered pallid sturgeon. Now, do you think those fish, I guess they've got little signs along the river telling those fish where that 1,200 acres is, don't you suppose?
Yeah. And some of our fishermen along the river here, as we are right now, can only fish in certain areas. And, so I don't know how they know the fish know to stay out of the area the guy's going to fish. But
well,
maybe
it's just like those deer crossing signs.
Yeah, that's true.
They ought to take them down, you know, because you see so many dead deer laying right there by those signs.
Yeah, they ought to put them somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. The deer see those and they think they can cross there. The agency's work ensures the river can remain an affordable avenue of commerce while meeting the habitat needs of the river's many species, Bush said in a statement. Bush said he is pleased with the federal court's ruling approving his administration's operating plans for the river. It took 15 years of litigation. The river can operate without changes sought by environmentalists to save the endangered fishies and the boides. I hear music in the background. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the mighty, mighty Missouri, the muddy Missouri. It's a mighty Mississippi, the muddy Missouri. Because I think the thing's already gone.
Yeah.
They've already cut the dikes, and that's going to allow the channel to silt in. Let's take a break. We'll be back. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Common Sense Coalition.
This is the Jerry Brownfield Show.
Come on now. You have to be tired of it. How it looks and feels. Red, scaly, itchy skin. I'm talking about the pain and embarrassment of psoriasis or eczema. Take a look in the mirror. If you want to change your life, you need to call Acadia Skincare today. Acadia's revolutionary skincare products will restore your skin to a normal, healthy appearance in less than 10 days. You'll even see and feel a dramatic difference in just 24 hours. Acadia's topical active ingredients are effective, safe, non-greasy, and FDA approved. And best of all, they work. You can't buy a more effective over-the-counter treatment. Acadia even has a risk-free trial offer. You have nothing to lose but your problem skin. So don't let psoriasis or eczema slow you down. Forget about all those products you've tried. That was in the past. This is now. You need to call Acadia Skincare today at 1-800-317-6251. You owe it to yourself. 1-800-317-6251. Call now. 1-800-317-6251.
You know, there's so much going on these days, there's no way I could possibly cover everything in my one-hour talk show. And that's why I began my monthly newsletter, The Common Sense Chronicle. And nearly 6 years later, it's still going, because there's still too much to cover on a daily basis. So you need The Common Sense Chronicle just to keep up on the real news. Each month in The Chronicle, I cover stories that politically correct newsrooms would never consider running, which is why it's so important that you stay informed. So give yourself a subscription today by sending a check, cash, or money order for $24.95 to Newsletter. That's Post Office Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. Check, cash, or money order for $24.95 to Newsletter. That's Post Office Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. For too many years, we've been in a debt money system, and it's long past time to convert to a wealth money system. In his book, Down on the Farm, Economic News for Agriculture, Byron Dale explains how to actually create wealth by monetizing labor to build roads and highways. Not only will this create wealth, but will also help to get us out of debt. It sounds simple because it is simple. Down on the Farm is so easy to read and understand. It should be in the hands of everyone that ever put their hands on money. To put a copy in your hands, send $10 per copy to Down on the Farm, Post Office Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. That's Down on the Farm, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. Doing everything they can to say Bush isn't doing anything, and I have to kind of agree with them a little bit on that. And I get in all kinds of trouble for saying things like that. But for whatever it's worth, now this is just how this works. I heard a deal on C-SPAN the other day, and I don't remember who was telling the story, but he said, you know, the Republicans wanted to spend 40-some million dollars or something to that effect. And the Democrats wanted to spend 50-some million dollars, so they compromised and they spent 80-some million dollars. Well, that's about the way this thing works. Now, look here. The Bush administration is approving only about 1 of every 2 acres that federal biologists propose setting aside to help vanishing species recover. Well, the National Wildlife Federation say, hey, that's not enough. We want 83 million acres, and Bush just wants 42 million acres, and so he is trying to destroy the habitat. All right, well, what they don't say is the Federation then contends that the administration is trying to undermine the Endangered Species Act. He's already given them 42 million, and they probably didn't think they would get that. They probably jacked the thing up so he could come along and say, okay, here's half of what you got, and they're happy with this, but they're going to still complain about it.
Oh, that's the nature of the beast out there in the political arena. I don't know why people aren't satisfied.
Well,
you ever wonder why that is?
I'm satisfied too. I'm too easily satisfied. You know, I worked for a fellow back when I was in college, and it was okay. Let's go to Wanda real quickly because this is her article here. Wanda, hi. You're on the air, Wanda.
Yeah, Derry. I don't know if I'm on a time delay with you this morning or not, but on my time here that I heard on the radio, you just read that. Thing about the Missouri River?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What this was about was a federal court ruled against the environmentalists, and it ruled for the Bush administration, and it says that the river can now operate without the changes sought by the environmentalists, and they'd been trying for 15 years to
right.
shut those gates and do everything that they could down there. And this is a plus for this administration. And what Bush, with the way you read it, it's hard to tell that. And it said that...
Let me read what I read. I read what you sent me.
Okay.
Okay, I said, let me start over. The Army Corps of Engineers and U.S. Wildlife Service announced the completion of more than 1,200 acres of shallow water habitat. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, and we kind of laughed about the pallid sturgeon. How are they going to get there to find that 1,200 acres? The agency's work ensures the river can remain an affordable avenue of commerce while meeting the habitat needs of the many species. Bush said he is pleased with the federal court's ruling. I said it took 15 years of legislation. The river can operate without changes sought by environmentalists to save endangered fish and birds. I think that's what I said. That's what's here.
Okay. The way you read it this time, you put the emphasis on the correct word.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's
the point I wanted to make, and the time's going to catch us, but the river is already ruined because they have gone in there and cut the dikes all up and down the Missouri River. The dikes have been cut, at least on the Missouri, in the Missouri area. They have been cut so that this river is going to silt in. So whether this works or not, unless they repair those dikes, and they spent years now cutting them, I think it's gone. Derry Brownfield here to tell you about the world's finest air purifier. It's called the Aeronizer. There is no other product on the market today that equals the power and performance of the Aeronizer. What the Aeronizer does is kills viruses and bacteria in the air and on surfaces in your home. It kills influenza viruses, powerful enough to kill airborne anthrax spores. Mold, mildew, and fungus problems are a thing of the past. Cooking, pet, and smoke odors are gone. It'll remove dust, pollen, dander, and other allergens from the air. It oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. There's nothing else to buy with these air purifiers. No plates to clean or filters to replace. We have units for the home, office, even for industrial and agricultural applications. You need to call us today at 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or go to the website aranair.us. The U.S. cattle industry has reached a crossroads. We can either continue down the road of further concentration and vertical integration, just like the chicken and hog industries, or we can change directions and restore competition and profitability to the U.S. cattle market. There are nearly 10 free trade agreements under consideration between the United States and foreign countries. The largest proposed free trade agreement is the Free Trade Area of the Americas that includes 34 countries in the Western Hemisphere. RCAF USA supports fair trade, not free trade. Currently, calves are being sold in South America for about a fourth of what they cost in the United States. Our fixed costs of taxation, workman's comp, minimum wage requirements, and higher than the entire cost of production in most countries. RCAF needs your help. For only $50, you can join RCAF USA by calling 406-252-2516. That's 406-252-2516. Call them today. And we have returned. We have returned, but I'm not going to move to Oregon. For whatever it's worth, do you know, and this is the city of Salem, Oregon. Old folks and community activists can take a class in code enforcement and be deputized to spy on their neighbors. Now, what are they going to spy on? Okay, if you cut a tree in Oregon that is at least 10 inches in diameter, then you can be fined $2,000 for the tree? No, $2,000 per day until you get another tree planted.
Oh, man, you know what I'd like to find, Derry? I'd like to find a couple of lawbreakers in Oregon and bring them to some of my fence rows here in Missouri and let them have fun. That's what I'd like to find.
Now, that's just one. Now, get this point.
Oh, my gosh.
White oaks. In Oregon, I guess it's something kind of special. We have a lot of them down here in the Ozarks, but there's gobs and oodles of them here. But in Oregon, I guess there's something special because they have a regulation now, again, in Salem, Oregon, that requires the owner of a white oak to establish a fence beneath the canopy of the tree. When limbs break off or leaves fall from the tree, they must be gathered and placed within the fenced-in area to rot. Now you ask, well, what if the tree dies? It has to remain standing in your yard until mold, fungus, and rot claims the tree and it returns to dust.
Wow.
So if an oak tree dies in your yard, I mean, you're going to be an old man by the time that sucker's gone.
And it might be through your roof of your house if it's very close to your yard when it falls. And I don't know.
Now, hey, you say, yo, I'll just cut that sucker and they won't know about it. No, you won't, because the city of Salem, Oregon had these old folks out there and community activists, and they've already had a class in code enforcement, and they're deputized. So they can spy on you. You know, the whole secret to that is cut all the trees down before they reach 10 inches, and you don't have to worry about any
of this.
I guess
that's, yeah, that would make a lot of
sense. Put a little cordon on them.
Yeah. My brother-in-law would like to live there. He'd grind stumps for a living. He'd go to work. We'd keep him busy.
Can you believe this sort of thing?
No.
All right, let's move a little further, a little faster. Forest Guardians. They formed a group called Watershed Guardians. And you know, we're getting these watershed things all over the country. I got land in Montauk County, and they've started one of these watershed programs on the Montauk Creek up here.
Salt projects and all those kind of things.
Oh, yeah, you know about salt projects.
Oh, I'm in a salt project. Mar Farm's in a salt project also. Yeah.
Well, anyway, let's get what's going to happen here. They're going to have these watershed guardians now to document the effect that private cattle have on streams and rivers. Watershed Guardians is assembling volunteers to document changes to waterways. And then these volunteers, they can digitally photograph them. The volunteers are taught stream monitoring techniques, complete stream surveys. The information they gather is then collected and entered into their database, where it is used to establish a visual archive of the watershed. Mm. This will help show how cattle and other factors are harming our streams.
And they don't realize all that grass they leave all along the banks that keeps the soil and erosion and all those sediments out of the creeks. Those cattle will protect creeks, actually. And they need some gleaning provisions, and actually in some of our conservation programs for us cattle owners.
And we're out of time. Wes, it's always fun to have you as a guest on the Common Sense Coalition. Keep me informed. And now it's time for me to say, may the good Lord bless and keep you while the near or far away. May the good you wish for others shine on you today. May your heart stay tuned to music that will cheer the hearts of man. May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails.
The big party is in 2 days, and my dress is so tight it doesn't fit.
Finally, there's a quick, easy way to lose up to 10 pounds in just 2 days. Introducing the all-natural Cyclone Diet, a delicious, satisfying beverage that cleanses and detoxifies. Here's Dr. Cy Levine on nutrition and safety.
Each serving contains 100% of the USRDIs, the vitamins and antioxidants. With the Cyclone Diet, you'll shed the pounds, not the vital nutrients.
After 2 days on the Cyclone Diet, I lost 8 pounds.
pounds, and my pants fit perfectly.
I just needed something to jumpstart my diet. It's exactly what I needed to get me on my way.
I took the Cyclone diet, and I lost 12 pounds in 48 hours.
Now, for just $19.99, you can lose up to 10 pounds in 2 days. You'll also get the portable Cyclone Mixer, a $20 value, free.
Credit card users, call 1-800-504-4422. 1-800-504-4422. The 48-hour Cyclone diet, 1-800-504-4422.
Hey, John Statmiller here, and I have a question. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.